Rumpus time is over.
There's a new sheriff in town.
Luke's crazy.
Did you hear that, Brian?
Luke, we're gonna have company!
Brian! Bad guys of the galaxies, beware! The defender of the universe is here!
In order to form a more perfect union.
Luke! Brian!
Luke! Brian!
One margarita, two margarita, three margarita shot.
Stop that! You're not going into a song while I'm here.
And now for something completely different.
Ladies and gentlemen, the Talking Heads.
Hello and welcome to Dueling Tangents. I'm Luke Mathers. You're listening to Dueling Tangents across Civic Media here in Madison, broadcasting live from the Solidarity Realty Studios on Madison's Near West Side. For Mad Radio, 92.7 FM, WMDX, 1580 AM. And I want to know, what is your favorite, what is the best concert that you've ever attended? Did you ever do it on a Sunday night where part of your mind and maybe soul always will be at the venue that you were the night before on a Monday? Boy, Sunday night concerts, I'm serious, folks. They drag a little bit out of you because I am hauling today, but that's okay. I saw Blink-182 last night, and I am on cloud nine. Even though my body may be exhausted, I've got plenty of energy that I'm conjuring up for this edition of Dueling Tangents. And joining me on a Monday afternoon, Todd Alba, host of the Todd Alba Show. Todd, what best concert? Folks, 844-967-2789. I want to hear your best concert experience because I got to tell you, the one I had last night, pretty damn great.
Pretty great.
Yes. Like, I've been waiting for this, Todd. 3 years in the making. I bought Blink-182 tickets when they were doing this world tour in 2020. About end of February of 2020. Mm. Little something happened a couple weeks later. Entire world shut down. Summerfest was canceled. Mm-hmm. They rescheduled. Blink-182 rescheduled for 2021. But because of the complications around the scheduling of tours, weren't going to make it to Summerfest, kicked it back to 2022, which unfortunately got canceled because Mark Hoppus, the bassist for Blink-182, had been diagnosed with cancer. He is now in remission. He has hopefully beaten that cancer. Mm-hmm. And they are now kicking off their world tour. And I got to see him last night in Chicago. And boy, I think it was worth it. Like I absolutely think it's worth it, but I am dragging today.
It was a big concert where Luke walked into the studios this afternoon with pink hair and a fresh tattoo. So I knew it was a big concert. But no, you had a look of both joy and exhaustion all at once on your face.
That's what I'm doing today. It is joy and exhaustion because part of me will be at the United Center for some time now because I got to see the band that was on my bucket list. And they delivered. This was who I've been wanting to see them for years. The last time they were in Milwaukee, I was living in D.C. It was just terrible timing of circumstances. Mm. The COVID saga happened with the tour after that then, and I finally got to see them. It was so worth it. An incredible experience. Want to hear about your favorite concerts. 844-967-2789. And you got a couple, Todd.
It's hard. I mean, it's a hard question.
Right?
Yeah.
And it was the United Center. I'm not a huge fan of arena concerts. Mm-hmm. To me, the best concerts that I've had to up to this last night, always smaller venues, in the crowd, in the pit, having a blast, singing along to You Can't Actually Talk. I'm a little surprised, Todd, that I still have my voice today.
You sound remarkably good. Actually,
I drink a lot of water after, like,
or some kind of liquid.
Well, up to the concert, there was a different liquid, but then after the fact, and all this morning, a lot of water and a lot of espresso.
That's good. For me, I guess it would have to be kind of a tie at the top. I'm going to cheat a little bit and say I saw Paul McCartney with my good friend Jeff Perry from high school. He had an extra ticket. He was kind enough to take me to the old County Stadium, the old Brewers ballpark, and we were down on the field, not quite, I don't want to exaggerate, we weren't quite in the pit, but right behind the pit, on the field, Paul McCartney brought the place down to the end with Hey Jude. I mean, that was spectacular. Also saw The Boss, Bruce Springsteen, if I could say it. In the old Bradley Center with my dad. That mm-hmm. was fantastic. And then I saw Garth Brooks at a very small venue out in Sioux Falls, South Dakota. My sister was going to school there. And then Kenny Chesney, both at Summerfest and also here at in Madison at the Kohl Center.
Yeah, so you've had some pretty good big arena. You've seen those big headliners.
Garth Brooks, and I mean, the place out in Sioux Falls, I mean, I don't know if it held 13,000 people. I mean, it was close. I'm not sure if it was even as big as the Coliseum here in Madison, maybe 8 to 10, yeah. something like that. It was a small venue. And he started, it was a song called Red or something like that. Anyway, he came up, you thought it was him, in full white tails and a white cowboy hat and a white grand piano, and the place went crazy. It came up out of the floor, and the guy started playing, and you heard Garth's voice. But then a hole opened in the grand piano, and the actual Garth Brooks came up to the middle of the grand piano. It was spectacular.
That's a good one.
He's a showman.
I believe that. And then this was exciting, too, because although it was delayed for several years, since 2020, just the last couple months, actually, the original three of Blink-182 got back together. Mm-hmm. And so this is their first world tour as the founding band got back and are hitting the road now. Amazing. Never thought that I'd actually get the opportunity to see it. Was thrilled. I had a blast with my brother, my sister-in-law, and my fiance. We are all probably dragging pretty hard today because of how late we all got back last night. But it was a tremendous show. It was spectacular. I want to hear your favorite concert experiences. 844-967-2789. We're also going to get some headlines, so we'll feed the vegetables. Yeah. But for me, on cloud nine right now. Saw Blink-182 last night. Want to hear about your concert experiences. And we've got Todd, one of your all-time favorite callers. We got Jack from Merrimack calling in.
Jack from Merrimack, you made our day, buddy. Thanks for calling in. You put Luke in a good mood, to me as well.
Jack, what's your best concert experience you've ever been to?
Well, by far the most interesting concert experience I've ever been to was the Grateful Dead concert back in the day. That would have been late 60s, early 70s, I think. I had a girlfriend at the time, and we had dinner at her place. She had baked up this wonderful bunch I thought they were coconut crunch brownies. Well, they were brownies. Fortunately, I was not driving. I remember going to the concert. I remember coming back in the car in the concert. I do not remember much of the concert.
That can't be an all-time favorite concert, then, if you don't remember it, Jack.
Well, okay, my all-time favorite was probably the John Denver concert back in that day also that was held in Madison. And that was one of the early concerts where they had the light show, the whole works. It was fantastic. He did all the, you know, country roads, all the popular stuff of the day that he did.
Saw him in at the Riverside in Milwaukee like less than a year before he died.
Wow.
Yeah. So he was a talented guy. I miss him. A really talented singer and songwriter.
I appreciate your contribution to the show today, Jack. 844-967-2789. If you've got a concert story, we want to hear it. It wasn't in brownie form, but at the United Center, there's now some recreational material that is available. And boy, was it in the air last night. It was the guys on stage were commenting about it too, saying like even just a few years ago, they wouldn't have been able to have that kind of atmosphere at a venue in Chicago. But there were a lot of concert goers that were partaking in that as well. I prefer the beer libations.
Absolutely.
So that was my cup of tea or brew last night for the concert. But we want to hear your concert going stories. 844-967-2789. You're listening to Dueling Tangents across Civic Media. I'm Luke Mathers, joined on a Monday afternoon by Todd Alba, host of the Todd Alba Show, that you can catch Monday through Friday from 8 a.m. to 11 a.m. on WRCE, our friends News from the Center, Bull Falls Radio up in Wausau, WXCO, where Chad Holmes is doing a terrific job right now in the air as well, and WLAK Lake Air in Amory. And Todd, you did a lot of preparation and work for your show this morning coming out of a Monday. I was kind of like, oh, I got to call in some reinforcements. Okay, Todd can join me. Great. I didn't do really any homework. So looking for some audience participation with their concert stories because I was out so late. But you, Todd, you did all the homework. You were prepared for even an extra hour out of your three today.
I feel like I'm back on Platteville student radio and television where you still a telethon where today, folks, if I could just take over the telethon guidepost for a second. Please help us. We're helping out our co-host, Luke. We're raising spirits. We're raising funds. Give us a call. Help Luke out today. He's a great guy. We just help him.
We just need your concert-going stories because that's what I did last night, and I unplugged fully over the weekend, so I'm just trying to catch up.
The difference is Luke has a partner and a life. Todd is just... I was on Kristen Pry and Jay Mattner's show, as goes Wisconsin, talking about a different subject, and I had called. I was very happy because Kristen announced last week that she and her husband are expecting a child. Mm-hmm.
And congratulations to baby Bry... Why is Michael... Samson.
Yes.
Baby Bry Samson. Yes. Michael's last name was escaping me for a moment.
And instead of calling Kristen and Mike, I congratulated Kristen and Mark. And she texted me, she said, his name is Mike. I'm like, oh, geez, Lord. And so when I called in to the show later on in the day, I said, well, Kim and Joanne, thank you. I was happy. I intentionally called the wrong name. I said, the difference is the two of you actually have... long-term relationships who are very much in love with your partners. The difference is my relationships don't last long enough to ever get to a first name. And so that's the biggest difference.
That's
so,
the ongoing joke now?
Okay. Yeah, that's the ongoing joke. And so Luke has a life, they see, understand. So I was at home curating all these news headlines, and it was a downtrodden and busy weekend, unfortunately.
Yes, it was. And there are plenty of headlines that we're going to get to. One of the ones that broke through that I did see as well has a little something to do with Wisconsin. Wisconsin, kind of tangentially, though. We've got an update down in... Yeah, right?
Always good to grab a tangential.
Weird how I can see I'm not off my game that much this Monday afternoon.
He's still got it.
But Georgia, having a plea deal, it sounds like, between eight of the fraudulent fake... They're giving him a lot of different euphemisms for what kind of electors they were in the 2020 election. So we're going to dive into that headline, as well as take your concert stories all hour long, 844-967-2789. You can call or text, but... Yes, Blink-182, when they played this one specifically last night, boy, Kelsey was taking videos of me because I was literally like that kid that gets the N64 for Christmas, if you've seen that video where he's unwrapping it and he's just excited. I could barely contain myself. And so I'm here on a Monday afternoon recounting my... I got a couple other concerts we're going to get to. We got some from Evan, but if you've got any, you want to join us on the phone lines, 844-967-2789. You are listening to Dueling Tangents across civic media. Share a tangent with us on this Monday afternoon, joined by Todd Alba, host of the Todd Alba Show. Download the civic media app while you're at it, folks. Take us with you on the go. So when you do a little late night excursion and you're down in Chicago, you can still stream the contents if you've got the civic media
app.
You weren't
streaming civic media content.
No, I wasn't. I was listening to Blink 182 as loud as I could.
You gotta enjoy it, buddy.
Exactly.
I'm glad for you.
We're gonna be right back.
Hey Jude, don't make it bad. Take a sad song and make it better. Remember to let her into your heart.
Welcome back to Dueling Tangents. I'm Luke Mathers, joined on a Monday afternoon by Todd Alba. Hey Jude.
County Stadium was rocking. Yeah. 1989, probably 1990. Okay.
Well, before
like
it got torn down, then. Oh, but you guys almost tore it down that night.
We almost tore it down. The whole crowd. Back then, Luke, we actually had lighters because nobody had a smartphone in 1989.
It was funny. The guys of Blink-182 were saying, put your flashlights on or lighters if you got them. And there was maybe like a handful of lighters and that was it. But mostly all cell phone lights, the cameras.
Let me just say this, by the way. Sorry to take over your show for 2 seconds. I just want to tell people this. You're on with a goofball me, but a marketing and broadcasting genius in Luke Mathers. We were talking about this idea he has coming up in June. I can't talk about it right now. Brilliant. The guy, even in exhaustion, after he's given his body and soul to Blink-182, he's still coming fresh and hard on a Monday morning.
I mean, Sure. That, your words, not mine. I am just trying to get through this Monday afternoon. But I've got the energy because I'm still, I'm telling you, I'm on cloud nine. The concert was that good. I do compare it to other concerts that had more intimate venues. Mm-hmm. But I want to hear, you got any good concert
Too
experiences?
Too many to count.
Too many to count. I was going to say, you're a musical guy. So aside, you got it.
Yes, aside from the... Honestly, at this point, hundreds.
You got to have a couple notable ones out of those hundreds,
though. Well, but it's, you know, those are all mine, right? So those, of course, take the number one spot. Our performances take the number one spot. But of all the real concerts I've been to, the one that really takes it, it does. It might be surprising. It's a you might not even have heard of them. It's a band called I Am Dynamite, and it was here in Madison at the Frequency. Well, that was still a place. You guys remember the Frequency?
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Oh, beautiful bar.
Yep.
I mean, there was probably 20 people there.
Wow.
And it was something. It's a two-man band. They are electric. And it was just really crazy because you were just hanging out in the basement with them.
Yeah.
You
know? That's cool.
And that's the one that sort of takes it. When I think about it all the time, you know, from start to finish, the whole aura was pretty special.
One of the clubs that's on my list, the Cactus Club in Milwaukee, I want to get out to because it's a very intimate, small venue like that as well. And I have not yet had the opportunity to. So that is definitely on my list. But those, the smaller shows are... Don't get me wrong. The stadium, I would love to see like the Foo Fighters in a stadium venue. There, you're not going to get a band like the Foo Fighters, Paul McCartney. Those guys aren't going to do the smaller intimate concerts anymore. But that's what it's so music's so great because when you start to follow a band and they come and put on a show like that, it's almost indescribable because it is such a small intimate setting that there's nothing else like it. But the stadium shows. Pyrotechnics. Travis Barker was suspended from the air playing half the set last night. It was amazing. And I was like, this is phenomenal. We got our friend Hawk texting in as well saying that he got to go. He splurged for the expensive tickets at Alpine Valley about 22 years ago when the Roots opened up for Dave Matthews Band.
Wow.
And then he said his also... up there with favorite shows, the Roots at the Orpheum about 15 years ago, so 7 years after that first show. And Hawk notes the Roots at the Orpheum was slightly better because it was so intimate. It was the smaller setting, much smaller than Alpine Valley. So we want to hear your concert stories. You can call them in. You can text them in. 844-967-2789. You're listening to Dueling Tangents. But I think... I mean, I grew up in the Milwaukee area. The smaller venue, what I love so much about the Rave, the Eagles Ballroom, was that they had so many different levels of stages. The basement shows, very tiny stage. The middle of the building, they've got I think three in there. So there's two smaller stages in there and then one medium-sized stage. And then you've got the ballroom at the top that has the biggest stage. And I've seen a ton of acts there, and I've seen a lot in the ballroom, but it was the basement shows, I think, like seeing like Simple Plan there when they first got started, Yellow Card down there. I think Fall Out Boy was only ever on the Eagles ballroom. Like they were huge. They sold out the entire building every time they come because they had a local Milwaukee guy in the band. But those smaller venues are just so great. And I think it's terrific. And I kind of, middle of 2021, when we all thought, hey, COVID's behind us, the vaccine's been rolled out, you know, we had like 60% threshold. I went to a show for the Wonder Years, one of my all-time favorite bands.
Great TV show, too.
Great TV show, but unfortunately not as FCC-friendly of lyrics, so therefore I don't get to play a whole lot of them on the show, but... summer of 2021, everybody was getting their vaccines, they were boosted, and I went to a show there, and one of my favorite shows, because it was on a smaller stage, and you're just in the crowd, and it's just amazing, and it was one of those feelings post the first wave of COVID,
right.
Like, maybe there's beyond this, but as you and I were recounting for the show, Todd, it's really hard to recount when we were going to some of these shows before the pandemic, because it feels like it was so recent. But it really is more than 3 years ago for a lot of these venues.
You take your memory and say, oh, that's 2 or 3 years ago, and then add on 3 years.
Yes.
And it's actually, it's 6 or 7 years ago, as or 5 or 6, 7. You have to add on to that.
Yeah.
But I mean, listening to you and Evan, I'm sure the listeners out there, and call in and share your story. But I think for so many people, guys, it's how we connected or how that artist connected with us on that day. Whether it was a well-known artist or not so well-known artist, it's the experience they create with you on that stage.
Yes.
And, you know, we used to have a thing back at Richland Center where we're on WRCE in Richland Center today. It was called Star Spangled Celebration. And they brought in big national acts to little old Richland Center one day or one weekend. And Dwight Yoakam played one there one time. Dwight Yoakam. I was working at RCO. I played an entire album, I think, that day. Thinking he'd listen to it and say, oh, have that kid come up on the stage. Didn't happen.
Didn't quite make it for that one. But it absolutely, it's one of those experiences where it's hard to match. And we want to hear your stories. 844-967-2789. Sharing those tangents. We're also going to get to some of the headlines of the weekend. We've got a plea deal out of Georgia. And we've got an update for a court ruling here in Wisconsin for these fraudulent electors.
Big news.
Big news. We're going to get to that and more. 844-967-2789. You're listening to Dueling Tangents across Civic Media. Share your concert stories with us. We're going to be right back.
Gonna make it bend and break.
They sent you to me with that way.
Say a prayer, but let the good times roll.
Welcome back to Dueling Tangents. I'm Luke Mathers. You are listening to Dueling Tangents across Civic Media. If you want to share a tangent with us on this Monday afternoon, 844-967-2789. You can call or text. Recounting last night's experience, just watching the drum set rise with Travis Barker still playing and just
amazing.
Going, oh, the best comparison that I can give folks is the clip of the, I don't know, 6-year-old that gets the N64 that just loses his mind. And that's that's what I was yesterday. And got to see Blink-182 in concert. A little tired, so kind of relying on some audience participation and Todd's help. Todd Alba, host of the Todd Alba Show on this Monday afternoon.
Brian Kelly normally does the heavy lifting. I'm just here to do the medium lifting.
Shockingly enough, Brian lost his voice over the weekend. He was not
Did
at a concert.
Really?
Yes, so Brian, even though he would love, he's a big Chicago guy. He loves talking about concerts live. He and his friend Chris Black do an excellent podcast series. It's taken a little bit of a hiatus, but On the Bus, where the two of them interview musical artists and touring individuals that recount their tales from life on the road of touring bus.
Is there anything this guy does not do?
No.
He's a podcaster. He's a technical whiz.
Yes. Brian is a jack of all trades, master of pretty much all of them as well.
Pretty much. I wish I had the talent in his pinky.
Well, so he lost his voice, so unable to join on the air today. But I was telling him about my experience last night. He's like, oh, and he's got a buddy that is in a Blink-182 cover band in Chicago that also knows another Blink-182 cover band in Chicago, and they do dueling Blink-182 concerts together. And I was like, that's incredible. I now need to also see that. So the next time they put on a show, I told Brian, I was like, you need to let me know because I will be there. And it was a great experience watching the show last night. We want to hear your concert experiences. 844-967-2789. Whether it's a small, intimate concert, whether it's a jam-packed arena tour, we want to hear those tales. 844-967-2789. We got Mike from Wausau calling in. Mike, what's on your mind today?
I have to say that
we got you there, Mike, or do we lose you?
And Rush were probably losing my turn. And
doesn't sound like we got the greatest connection with you, Mike, but if you can try giving us a call back. I heard Rush, and that would be incredible to watch. Like, I would love to see Rush live. I don't know if I could get over doing the slap in the bass man from, what's the, I Love You Man, the movie with Jason Segel and Paul Rudd. And but excellent drumming in that band, too. That for me is big. I played drums all throughout middle school and high school. I now have the room for the kit again.
Nice.
So I get to play every now and then, which I didn't get to do because in apartments in Madison, it's very hard to find
as it turns out.
Space for a full drum set. But
you can find space, just not neighbors who will take put up with
you. Might get evicted real quick, I guess. Right. Okay, Evan says we got a better connection with Mike now. Mike, we heard Rush. What other concerts did you enjoy?
Van Hagar and Pink Floyd. Those are probably the biggest ones. And then a band called GTR was one of my favorites because that one inspired me. The next day I went out and bought a guitar, and that was 30 years, and I've been playing guitar ever since that.
Terrific. Well, we appreciate the phone call, Mike. Yeah, that, again, is what concerts can do. The musical acts can do that because you get so inspired. And, like, it's kind of one of the things I was so exhausted I didn't do it, but I just wanted to go and bang on the drums when I got home last night at 2 a.m., which I can do now. I think the neighbors may pick up on it at that hour, but it was definitely a terrific experience. I'm going to remember it for forever, and it was a blast. We want to hear your concert stories. 844-967-2789. Up next, we got Mark from Prairie du Sac calling in. Mark, what is your all-time favorite concert experience?
Well, I haven't been to many, but I can remember this must have been early 1990 or 89 that I saw. I went to see Robert Palmer, but the opening act was Johnny Clegg and Sam Vuca. And, man, the Johnny Clegg and Sam Vuca stole the show that night because, you know, once it switched over to Robert Palmer, it was just kind of a letdown because Johnny Clegg really had us just fired up. I mean, he it was just a really great opening act, and maybe it was because it was so good that the Robert Palmer show was just kind of a letdown. That expecting a bit more, but maybe it was just really had the joint jumping when the opening act was playing.
Oh yeah, I've been to shows like that too, Mark, where the openers almost do a better job than the headliners, and you're like, oh well. Well, the energy kind of left the room, but I've also gone to shows where I've just went and watched the opening acts and then didn't know or wasn't familiar or didn't like the headliner, so I've just bailed out.
Really?
So, yeah, I've done that before. I grew up, the Rave was a 15-minute drive from my house, and they do an excellent job getting national talent in, and so sometimes I would be like, well, I don't really care for the headliner, but those three opening acts, I want to go see them. So I go and I'd see those three.
You grew up in a place of musical privilege, my friend. I grew up in Richland Center. I mean, if you committed to drive into Madison or let alone Milwaukee, you know, you went early, dude. You got the concessions. You watched people come in. You soaked it all up and you stayed till it was over because you might get to only go to one concert every 5 years or so.
No, I can believe that. I was lucky. The first show I ever went to was Fall Out Boy show. They had a ton of excellent Hey Monday, All Time Low was on that tour as well. I was 14 years old, and my parents said, hell no, you're not going to the Rave by yourself. And my older brother had to take me with. And I was the little 14-year-older that my brother, who was, I think, either a senior in high school or freshman in college, and his buddies had to quote unquote babysit me. But a really good thing about one of my brother's friends, it's like 6.5 feet tall, really easy to point out in a crowd. So whenever I got too far away in the crowd, I was like, hey, there's Jason. I'm going to go find Jason. And then I knew my brother was right there. And so us Mathers, not the tallest folks, but my brother did help out with having a tall friend that we were able to go to the shows with. So folks, 844-967-2789. We want to hear your concert going stories. We're also going to get to some headlines like this one. Georgia. Very similar to Wisconsin. Yeah. Georgia's on your mind? Georgia's on my mind, too. This is the one headline that got through. We can qualify it as the dumpster dive of the week, too, because I unplugged over the weekend, but this one broke through, and pretty significant one. The headline, 8 alleged fake electors took immunity deals in Georgia probe. What does it mean for Trump? And Todd, you had a pretty concise answer for that.
It ain't good.
Yeah,
it ain't good.
Not looking too good for the former guy. But this ties into what's going on here in Wisconsin. But over the weekend, 8 alleged fake electors who in 2020 sought to cast Georgia's electoral votes to former President Donald Trump instead of Joe Biden agreed to immunity deals with prosecutors investigating the scheme, according to a Friday court filing. The Georgia investigation development comes as local prosecutors continue to pursue a wide-ranging inquiry involving the former president and his allies, election fraud, and the electors' roles in casting fake Trump ballots. Which, so that's a big development down in Georgia over the weekend. Today, we're finding out, Todd, this headline over the Journal Sentinel. Judge to order Wisconsin Elections Commission to reconsider fake elector complaint without the commissioner who joined the scheme. Molly Beck reporting over at the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel that here in Madison, Dane County Circuit Judge Frank Remington said Monday he will order the state's bipartisan elections commission take up the complaint without the participation of one of its own commissioners who participated in the scheme to submit false paperwork to then Vice President Mike Pence and the National Archives, claiming to be electors for Trump despite his loss in Wisconsin. And so we're now going to get the folks, if you haven't been keeping up with this story, the Wisconsin Elections Commission, by design, 3-3. There's three conservative or Republican appointees, there's three liberal Democratic appointees. And, well, lo and behold, a lot of even split boards, you get a 3-3 decision. It means nothing happens then. It is gridlock by design. It is what the Republican legislature put together when former Governor Scott Walker and the Republican-led Wisconsin legislature overturned the Government Accountability Board during Walker's tenure. And so this gridlock by design took up, I believe, about a year and a half ago now. It was 2021. Yeah. A complaint that said the fraudulent electors committed illegal acts by claiming to be electors for Donald Trump despite him losing. And one of those electors, Robert Spindell, Todd, he got to vote in that 3-3 decision, deadlocking the decision not to investigate that complaint. Pretty messed up, huh?
And then bragged about it in a Christmas card saying, geez, you know, we kept those blacks and Hispanics from voting in Milwaukee.
Yes.
I'm not making that up.
Robert Spindell.
Yeah, the same guy that bragged about lowering the vote turnout for Hispanic, Latinos, and blacks in the Milwaukee area is overseeing our election system in Wisconsin.
Mm-hmm.
But it looks like this judge got smart and said, nope, Mr. Spindell, you're not going to have a vote.
Yeah, and so I cried foul. I think a lot of people were pretty upset that Bob Spindell, who participated in the fraudulent elector scheme, was able to oversee the review and the complaint of whether or not he committed illegal acts by overseeing the
and
process.
And a huge surprise, he found out that, no, he did not.
Shocker.
Shocking.
Shocking. By that one. But this is from the piece by Molly Beck over at the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel. Bob Spindell, a Republican commissioner on the state's top election oversight board, was sued in April and May of 2022 in separate lawsuits over his role in the scheme that included similar efforts by Republicans in Arizona, Georgia, that's where the plea deal came out, allegedly over the weekend. We found out those details. Michigan and Nevada. Spindell and other false electors have defended their actions, calling it a legal strategy in the event the election results were overturned by a lawsuit. Believe Trump went and lost, what, 60 out of 61 of those lawsuits?
Pretty close to that.
Something along those lines. Remington said Monday he plans to issue the written order next week after the plaintiffs, Spindell, and the elections commissioners agree the commission should reconsider the complaint without Spindell's participation. Remington's order will vacate the commission's March 2022 decision not to sanction the group of Republicans. So pretty weak all in all of what's going to happen out of a sanction, but at least some kind of accountability to start. And it seems like with what's going down in Georgia, a plea deal, there could be a pretty wide-ranging legal argument made against those fraudulent electors that coordinated among several different states, including Wisconsin and Georgia, that we're going to see some accountability for these fraudulent electors, Todd.
Anytime you see that people made plea deals, particularly in this type of a case, clearly there is a reason for that. The prosecution thinks they have evidence to help cook the bigger fish, and so these other folks are getting off the hook in exchange for their testimony, in this case against Donald Trump. This has been rumored for some time, both the media in Georgia, Washington, around the country, that, and that's why a lot of people were kind of concerned that the whole case of Manhattan over the hooker stuff, you know, went first because a lot of people thought that the case in Georgia.
Well, she was a porn star.
Oh, okay. Porn star, yeah. Hooker.
Stormy Daniels.
You say potato, I say potato.
It involved an illegal hush money payment. That's for sure.
I'm sure it did. But the case down in Georgia has a lot more teeth to it. And it actually seems to have even more evidence than what happened in Manhattan. So and what we hear now is that a decision is probably coming in the early part of this summer.
Between July 11th and September 1st, according to Fulton County DA Fannie Willis, for possible criminal indictments from right. that inquiry. So it will be interesting to see, and notably for how this ties into Wisconsin and Robert Spindell overseeing this complaint and tossing it out, saying, oh, no, there's no wrongdoing here mm-hmm. by 9 other people and me. We also see reporting out over at the Cap Times, Todd, that over the last 25 years, Wisconsin drops from 4th to 47th in voter access ranking. So
that's a tragedy.
Yes. The state that was once in the top 5 here in Wisconsin.
A leader of the nation.
Yes. And now at the bottom of the pack when it comes to accessibility for voters.
Thanks, Scott Walker.
Yeah, so we're going to talk about that story and your phone calls. 844-967-2789. We're still taking stories on your greatest concert-going experience. I'm hoping I'm not coming down from the high of being
Stay
live in person
Stay
for Blink-182 last
Enjoy
night.
Enjoy it.
Want to hear your stories. 844-967-2789. Call or text. We got one more segment left in the day.
Blame it all on my roots. I showed up in boots and ruined your black tie affair. The last one to know, the last one to show, I was the last one you thought you'd see there.
Welcome back to Dueling Tangents. I'm Luke Mathers, joined on a Monday afternoon by Todd Alba, host of the Todd Alba Show. You can catch Todd on the air Monday through Friday, 8 to 11 a.m., following that across the network of civic media, several terrific civic media stations you broadcast on, WRCE, WXCO, and WLAK. Following that, you got As Goes Wisconsin with Kristen Bry and Jane Matinair from 11 to 2. And then you're here.
Then
doing
you're here.
Tangents.
Then you're just here.
We have a blast.
Talk about having a talent in somebody's pinky. I mean, if I could have the effect on my audience, on our audience, like Garth Brooks has when you're in a stadium, a small or large venue, and it's kind of dark, mm-hmm. and all of a sudden you hear dun dun dun, dun, you know, that those opening couple of just the opening couple of notes of Friends of Low Places. I mean, the place goes apoplectic. That's all it takes.
Yeah,
that's all it takes. I mean, that think of being the artist, to be on that stage, and I've heard a lot of different artists talk about it, but to receive that energy. That has
it's
talk
gotta,
about a
it's
drug.
Gotta, I was gonna say that's gotta just
right
overcome you with just
a drug,
pure adrenaline. Right? I gotta assume at that point
to hear the song that you wrote on a bar stool somewhere or wherever you wrote it, and to hear that being sung back to you by thousands of people. Yeah.
Kelsey is one that she likes to know what the set list is gonna be. So when she goes to concert, she likes to look it up because. Her mindset is she likes to know and wants to be able to sing along and enjoy the concert that way. I'm the complete opposite.
I'm
I was
with
like,
you.
Do not look up the set. I was like, if you look up the set list, I don't want to know. Yeah. Do not tell me. I want to be surprised. I want to be in full awe. And I was scrolling on social media, which, you know, I should just not do because of stuff like this. But I did see the Blink. They opened up in Minneapolis to kick off the tour on Thursday night of last week. And it was Adam's song, one of their hits that they opened up with.
Yeah.
And it's not what they opened up with, though,
really?
Last night. So I was thrilled. I was over the moon because I was expecting Adam's song, and it was different. And it was terrific, though. I had a blast. We want to hear your concert-going stories. 844-967-2789. Whether it's large venues, small venues, or anything in between, we want to hear them. We got Matt and Madison calling in. Matt, what's on your mind today? What's your best concert-going experience?
So, like, all through the 90s when I was in high school, I was obsessed with being, like, in the audience when one of those, like, rare you know, somebody goes on stage or a guest appearance or something like that, and it never happened. That was like, that was would have been on my bucket list. And then in like 2000 or 2001, I saw Weezer at the Rave, and the Get Up Kids were opening for them, and the guys from Cheap Trick came out of nowhere and did like two songs. I'm pretty sure it was probably like Surrender and I Want You to Want Me with the Get Up Kids, who I think did a cover. And I was like, that's it. I finally
you
got
did
the
it.
One thing where it's like, you guys here? And it was prototypical Wisconsin too, right? Like Cheap Trick, right? Milwaukee
yeah,
knows Cheap
yeah.
Trick is kind of the, it was like the chef's kiss. But
they go hand
in
hand.
That was my best story. I mean, I like bands more, but that was easily my best concert.
Yeah, nice. An experience like that is just tremendous. And like again, it goes almost to the shock and the wow factor because you're not expecting that. That's why I don't like looking at the set list. I don't want to know. I want to be completely just hear those first couple of chords and have that power wash over. We appreciate your phone call, Matt. You can be like Matt, 844-967-2789. And it's just it's fascinating because when you then got to plug back into work, you got to pay attention to the headlines. You see what's going on here in Wisconsin. And it feels like maybe we're going to get a little bit of accountability when it comes to these fraudulent electors soon, Todd. It's pretty shocking. And I think it's kind of an indictment on the system that it's taken this long. Because if we do not get accountability for a coordinated scheme of 10 people here in Wisconsin, 16 people in Georgia, I want to say half or a dozen or so in Michigan. I forget off the top of my head how many electoral votes they had. But it's we need to see accountability. And I'm really hoping that this ruling in Dane County today about the fraudulent electors complaint being reviewed again by the Wisconsin Elections Commissioner, this time removing one of the fraudulent electors from the Wisconsin Elections Commission so he can't oversee a complaint that's being brought against him. I really hope that that's the first step for true accountability, but it is just fascinating to me, Todd, that we're here in 2023 and it's taken this long to get here.
Luke's more sophisticated than I am. He grew up in the city. I grew up in the country. Out in Richland Center, Luke, you know what we call that? We call that having the fox watch the hen house. that's what we call it.
Yeah, that's
because, I mean, there's no reason that Bob Spindell should have been anywhere remotely close to this when he was one of the perpetrators. Worked with Gableman, former Supreme Court Justice of Wisconsin, Gableman, and also Dan Kelly, to actually put the legalities of this or try to stitch together the narrative of how they could do this and work with Ron Johnson and Mike Pence to actually overthrow the election, to take the vote away from every Wisconsin citizen. And I say that because it doesn't matter whether you voted for Trump or Biden last time, to have an alternate set of electors disenfranchises all electors in Wisconsin.
Yep.
And you're absolutely right. Somebody should be held accountable for that. The people who perpetrated this, allegedly, we have to add that in, should be held accountable.
Yeah, you have to add in the allegedly for now.
For now.
But it will be interesting. The fact that there are plea deals happening in Georgia makes me think that there is not just I would love to see accountability for the individuals that signed their names on the dotted line.
Well,
that said, yes, we are 10 fraudulent electors here in Wisconsin, but I want to see accountability for the top of the scheme. I want to see the people that coordinated this. The Jim Tropis, the attorney here in Dane County that coordinated this in Wisconsin.
Well, and also, I mean, from my hometown again, Richland Center, you had Hitt.
Andrew Hitt.
Andrew Hitt, who is an attorney. Was the top attorney for Walker when he was governor in the state capitol, and was part of this. There, under the January 6th bipartisan commission, we saw evidence, texts and emails, other things between he and Mark Jefferson, the executive director of the Republican Party of Wisconsin.
Well, he was the then
they
chairman.
They knew exactly. They knew. They, right. Hitt was the chairman. Jefferson was the executive director. They knew full well what they were doing was illegal and wrong. And that's the thing. They went ahead and did it anyway.
Yes. And that's really where we need to have the accountability. Because, again, the cover-up of the crime is just as bad as the crime. And so there needs to be accountability. Otherwise, it's just going to be a dress rehearsal. It's just going to be,
looked good in a dress. I've seen this.
You don't actually have to dress up in a dress for the dress rehearsal. Come on.
Really?
Todd.
Okay. All right.
No.
I was in theater.
I'm sure that all of the concerts that we were talking about went through their dress rehearsals before those excellent shows we discussed today. And there was very few dresses, if any. Folks, you've been listening to Dueling Tangents.
Nothing wrong with that.
Nothing wrong with it. Unless you're in Tennessee, you may, well, you know, then you could be held accountable by the government banning drag there. Folks, you've been listening to Dueling Tangents. Really appreciate Todd Alba, host of the Todd Alba Show, for joining me on this Monday.
Better.
Yes, we hope the big guy's feeling better. We want to thank E for being on the board and all of the excellent phone callers. If you miss any portion of this show, go check out the podcast, civicmedia.us. Dueling Tangents will be back tomorrow at 2. Talk to y'all then.